welcome back to Dakota Midday. I am Kara Hetland, broadcasting from the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me now is Liz Almley. She's a historic preservation specialist for the South Dakota State Historical Society and State Historic Preservation Office. Liz, thanks so much for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today.
Thank you for having me, Kara.
So three South Dakota properties were recently added to the National Register of Historic Places. And let's talk about these one at a time. Let's start in Freeman with the First National Bank. Describe that for me.
Yeah, the First National Bank is a two-story brick business building downtown Freeman on one of the corners there. So it's a pretty prominent building. It is simple, but it's sort of solid and durable, which is what bank architecture was supposed to be. It's now being rehabilitated for retail space. The bank moved out in 1976, and there have been a few different businesses in there, but it's now being rehabilitated.
And what were some of the criteria to get this placed on the National Historic National Register?
Yeah. The National Register criteria starts with age. We look at properties at least 50 years old, unless they have exceptional significance. And the First National Bank was built in 1906, and the bank moved in 1907, so that criteria was met. And then we look at significance, and the bank's significance was for the history of commerce in downtown Freeman. It was one of two sort of long-lasting banks in downtown Freeman, and the last one standing. The Merchants Bank had a big sort of temple-style front on it and was demolished in 1998. And then the third criteria we look at is integrity, so whether the building physically still has the characteristics of the historic period. And there had been a couple changes to windows and the entrance, but those are being changed back as time goes, and we thought the overall, the design was very similar. It still had a lot of its historic characteristics.
Any significant events in the history of this bank building? Any robberies there or anything?
Oh, yes, there was. In fact, in 1935, there was a robbery, and they had just survived the Great Depression. They stayed open all the way through the Depression. The family put up private money to help keep the bank open. And then in May 1935, four guys came and robbed a bank, took more than $1,000 and one of the employees, and they headed out on the highway, and they pushed the employee out of the car. And so he was safe and unharmed. And they were eventually apprehended in Rapid City in that June. So they weren't on the run for very long.
Does that have any role in historic preservation, a great story about the building?
A great story is always great for marketing and building interest and support.
Okay.
Within the National Register, that sort of single event would have to be exceptionally important to sort of change history. But it is a great story.
Okay, so the second item is Harmony Friends Church near Wessington Springs. Talk a little bit about this building.
Yeah. The Harmony Friends Church was built in 1913, and it's surrounded by a grove of trees that were built up for a timber claim back in the 1890s, probably. And the church was established by the Harmony Friends Meeting, which is a group of the Society of Friends that many people have called Quakers over the years. And from what we can tell, it's the last Friends church standing in South Dakota on its original location. So there weren't very many Society of Friends meetings around the state, but it's the last one we know of in its original spot.
Original spot, still the original structure?
Yep. The one built in 1913. They had a church that they had recycled from another location in 1901, but they built this church. It has a very nice corner steeple with shingles, a big open sanctuary, a low altar. There's a room in the back. They pulled a curtain, and they could use that room as a Sunday school room. And the church then built a basement in the 1950s, so they'd have meeting space. there.
Is it still being used today?
The church, the Friends, sold the building in 1991 to a community church because by then there weren't many members who were still members of the Society of Friends, but many people in the community still attended. So they sold to the Harmony Hill Church, who still owns the property, but they're not holding regular meetings anymore.
And so when you receive this National Register designation, do you get money to help preserve it? Or, I mean, what is it? Is it an ability so then it no longer, you know, gets torn down or it's protected? What does this really mean for an empty building like this church?
Within the federal regulations, there are no automatic protections and no automatic money, but they're eligible to apply for some grants and tax incentive programs, and we have some programs in the state that are unique to South Dakota that owners can apply for. And it's a recognition of the property, so hopefully that sort of cachet comes with some incentive to preserve the building and to make sure it stays eligible for the National Register and able to tell its stories.
Okay. And the third location is Terrace Park and Japanese Gardens in Sioux Falls. And talk a little bit about this location.
Sure. Terrace Park was bought by the city in 1916 from the Hattie Phillips, who was sort of one of the matriarchs of the city of Sioux Falls and had grown older. And so her grounds and her house were bought by the city. And the superintendent at the time had this grand plan. He wanted to do all these improvements and build these terraces. And he had a landscape architect from Minneapolis draw a plan, Charles Ramsdell. So he drew these plans for terraces for Frederick Spellerberg, the superintendent at the time. And they started this building these giant terraces, which was a big sort of earth-moving project for that time in the city. And they built up the terraces, and then they had a caretaker, Joseph Maddox, who started these Japanese gardens along the shore. It's along the shore of Colville Lake, sort of northwest of downtown Sioux Falls. And he started these gardens. He had taken a correspondence course in landscape architecture and was trying it out, I guess. and built these up. And then in the 1930s, they kept going. They built more terraces and more stone walls. There are these beautiful stone walls and stone steps throughout the park. And the city got some support from the Civil Works Administration, one of the New Deal sort of work relief programs. And they added to the park to the north. But the property listed on the National Register is the southern part of the park. It's south of, there's a big water park there now. So it doesn't include the water park or the ball fields across the lake, but that sort of historic core is what was nominated.
And what qualifications does this have to receive this designation?
It was nominated for its history and entertainment and recreation as one of the sort of the first big parks in the city. Built because the city was growing quite a bit at the time, and town promoters wanted to improve the quality of life for people coming, businesses that might potentially come. So they were establishing a lot of these parks, and it was a place for recreation, for leisure. They had, in the Phillips House, they used it as a community house, and they had sort of a matron of the park there who would run children's programs during the day, and kids from the neighborhood could come and play sort of supervised games. They had ice skating. For a time, they did the Frosty Frolics Ice Carnival on Colville Lake there. So it was a big factor for entertainment and recreation for that neighborhood, but then sort of has its place in the city's history of parks and recreation.
And how much was the outdoor amphitheater used at Terrace Park at the time?
The amphitheater was built in 1932. They had a wooden stage there earlier, and then they built this one in 1932. And it was used very often. It was, for many years, it was the sort of the summer the summer spot to go hear the Sioux Falls Municipal Band, and there were theater performances there for a time. People could sit up on the terraces, and I'm sure it was beautiful, lit by sort of gas lamps. And
we have the Japanese Gardens, which is part of this. And can you talk a little bit about the history of the Japanese Garden, and the name has kind of changed back and forth?
It did a little bit. Yeah, the Joseph Maddox built it. He started in 1928, and then they did an expansion in 1934. But then World War II hit, and sort of right across the way was the Army Air Force Radio Technical Training School, and Japan being one of the U.S. enemies at the time, the Japanese gardens were not very popular, and they were vandalized. A lot of the statuary was thrown into the lake. Stones were removed and rolled down, and all sorts of things. The city tried to rename it as the Oriental Gardens or the Chinese Gardens to remove the stigma of the name of Japan. There are some postcards that were printed that call it the Oriental Gardens, but it didn't stick long-term, and it didn't really stop the vandalism. And the park was neglected for a while. There were some repairs in the 1960s after the war had ended and things cooled down, but it was pretty well neglected until a local advocate group hired some landscape architects in the late 1980s, and they sort of did an overhaul. They kept a lot of the historic stone and the terrace landscape, but they fixed up everything that had been neglected.
And does the city, with this designation, are there new rules and regulations then for the city on how it has to manage this park?
There aren't any automatic rules. There's a state law for every property that's listed on the National Register that a municipal government, if they're taking an action that could affect the property, they need to go through a review process and let our office comment. And in Sioux Falls, there's also the Board of Historic Preservation. That's a city board that would comment on a proposed project. The city would then have to take those comments into consideration when deciding whether to go ahead with a project or not. But that's a statewide law. That's not new. It'll just now include this park under those reviews.
Okay. Liz, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Liz Omley is a historic preservation specialist for the South Dakota State Historical Society and State Historic Preservation Office.